Hello and welcome again to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, a program that features inspiring messages and presentations by Dr. Wintley Phipps. I'm excited to join you again today as your guest host. My name is Sandra Enterman. I'm sitting in for the host, Adrian Wesney Jr. He's away on vacation. We're going to carry on with our series entitled When God Says. These messages were presented in a mini-series preached at the Palm Bay Church in Florida. I hope you were able to hear the first message. It was a real blessing. The second of these messages is When God is Silent. This is a lengthy message, so we're only going to air part one today, and the rest will follow in the next broadcast, so be sure to stay tuned. Before we go to that, let's hear some music by Wintley Phipps. The sun will shine again.
Memories light up the sky of days when life for me meant holding on, hoping that I would be strong, always needing more to see that somehow I would surely find my way. By faith I'd see a brighter day.
Life. This is Sandra Enterman, your guest host for today's program, and we just heard The Sun Will Shine Again by Wintley Phipps and Patti LaBelle from the album The Sun Will Shine Again. We hope you enjoyed that. We're going to get right to our message now, When God is Silent, Part 1. Here's Pastor Phipps.
For those of you who don't realize it, I am actually preaching a series of sermons that started last Sabbath. The message last Sabbath was When God Says No. When God says no. I preached that one time, and a preacher came in and sat down at the back of the church, and he was praying because he had just done an interview to become a president of a conference. And I preached that sermon, When God Says No. And he walked up, he said, "Man, why would you preach that sermon today?" He didn't become the president of the conference. They chose somebody else. But today he's the president of the union. God had to say no over here so he could get a blessing over there. Some don't even think the word no is in God's vocabulary. And let me see if I can give you a little test. I almost want to give a couple of recordings to somebody who can get all the answers right. God says no for 5 reasons. Number 1, to protect us. Anybody else remember? To prove us whether we'll be loyal when he says no. He says no. That's right, I heard it. What is it? To punish us. Yes, he still punishes you, no. Even those he loves, he punishes. You love your children, don't you? And you haven't yet told them there's an eternal moratorium on punishment. Amen? And you still love them. So he says no to protect us, to prove us, to punish us, and also to, amen, provide. Now, is that a good memory, or did you take good notes? Good notes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Provide for us. And one more reason that he says no is because he loves us. He loves us. Today, the message is, and 2 of the other messages will be, When God Says Wait. That message is coming. And then When God Says, this is the one everybody wants to be here for, When God Says Yes. Amen. Amen? That's the exciting message, right? But today, the message is When God Is Silent. And you feel forsaken when God is silent. A few hours had passed. Jesus had been nailed to the cross. A terrifying darkness enveloped Calvary. The crowd that had gathered to witness the crucifixion, the torture and crucifixion of our Lord, suddenly became silent because the earth beneath them began to tremble, as if recoiling in horror from the blood that was falling from our Savior's brow. Have mercy. Even the earth, when the blood of Jesus touched it, shook in horror. The crowd jeered him, mocked him, but nature was groaning in sympathy. Jesus knew that he would have to face this experience alone. He knew that his disciples would fail him. He knew that his closest friends would desert him. But he never dreamed that he would come to this moment and that his own Father would be silent. With his life being poured out as an offering for the sins of men, He did not know that he would find himself grasping in the shadows for the hand of his own father. You know, there's probably nothing worse in life than to die alone. During the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln would often visit the troops who were injured. He would visit the troops who had paid the ultimate sacrifice and who were dying. And on one such visit, he came upon a young man who it was clear that he didn't have long to live. "Young man," said the president, "is there anything I can do for you?" Unaware of who it was, unaware of who it was speaking to him, the young man said, "Sir, I would like to send a final letter to my mother, but I cannot write." President Lincoln sent for a pen and paper and said, "Young man, tell me what you want to say, and I will write it for you." The young man dictated the letter, and when he was through, he asked to see the letter. And at the bottom of the letter, he saw signed as dictated to President Abraham Lincoln. He couldn't believe his eyes. "Mr. President," he said, "is that really you?" "Yes," said President Lincoln. "Can I do anything else for you?" "Oh, sir," said the young man, "I don't have much time to live, and I don't want to die alone." "You won't die alone," said President Lincoln, who then took off his jacket and sat holding the young man's hand through the night until the dawn began to break, and as the dawn broke, that young man died. Brothers and sisters, Jesus on Calvary didn't have anybody to sit with him. The song says he died alone, without the comfort and assurance that his Father was with him. As he felt his life draining, emotionally, he was grasping for his father's hand. He couldn't understand why his father would veil his glory at such an awful time, why his father would hide his face. Just when he needed to hear his father's voice, he couldn't understand why his father wouldn't speak. Just when he needed to feel the hand of grace upon his brow, he couldn't feel his father. You must understand that that was a strange experience for Jesus. For all through his life, when his soul was troubled, he always heard his father's voice. At the Jordan, the father spoke, saying, "This is my beloved son." Oh, are you with me today? "In whom I am well pleased." At the Jordan, he heard his father's voice on the Mount of Transfiguration. God sent Moses and Elijah down from heaven to encourage him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he found himself in deepest agony, the Father sent an angel from heaven to strengthen him. But on Calvary, in his deepest agony, when he needed the comfort of his father and his friends, they all, it seemed, forsook him. Jesus had lived his life on earth 33 years, and never before had Jesus ever uttered one word of complaint. When they struck him, he didn't complain. Somebody said he never said a mumbling word. When they spat upon him, he didn't complain. When they tortured him and mocked him, he didn't say, "I'm going to get you." But here he was, dying alone, without the comfort and presence of his father. And Jesus spoke what some scholars see as the only word of complaint uttered by the Savior to his father through his life on earth. Jesus broke the silence
with a cry that crashed like a peal of thunder. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus knew he would be forsaken by the fickle masses, because if you are alive long, you know, people will dump you in a minute. You expect it. Amen. People will drop you and forget you without even thinking a second thought. Until that moment, Jesus, no matter how dark the journey was, no matter how difficult the road, of this he was always confident that he could count on one thing. He knew he couldn't count on Peter. He couldn't count on the disciples, but he could count on his Father. But as he hung there with no hand to hold, no presence to encourage, with no one to wipe his fevered brow, suddenly the sum of our sin-laden loneliness, the sum of our sin and our collected alienation, the feeling of the hidings of his Father's face, this cold silence caused him to cry out, "Father, don't forsake me." These words of Jesus come out of the depths of loneliness, the depths of isolation. The fact is that Jesus felt abandoned in that moment. Have mercy, Jesus. He felt alone in that moment. It is very difficult for us to understand the kind of abandonment and alienation that Jesus endured on Calvary. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The composer Peter Tchaikovsky wrote about that loneliness, and he wrote it in a minor key. He wrote these tender words, "None but the lonely heart can feel my anguish." Let me tell you, little Johnny had enjoyed a long day of playing and running and climbing and digging and building. And when time came, he knew the rules. Mommy was only going to tell one story, and he had to go to bed. But this time, "One more question, Mommy." His mother tucked him into bed. Little Johnny climbed into bed, bent over, put his arms around her neck. "Don't go. I want to ask you one more question, Mommy." And by the way, children can ask you some of the deepest questions. You know what I'm talking about. I remember once I was walking with my youngest boy. He was about 5 years old in the mall. And I was instructing him on how important it is to obey. I said, "Son, you have to obey exactly, and you have to obey quickly. I said, if you obey, Daddy will even think of buying you a bicycle for Christmas." And as we kept walking, that five-year-old squeezed my hand, looked up in my face, and said, "Daddy, when you were a little boy, did you always obey?" Here comes the bicycle. My answer was, "I tried, son, I tried." "Mommy," said little Johnny, "you and Daddy tell me that God is love. You said that God has loved us from the beginning of our world. God, Mommy, how could God love before there were any angels or people to love?" His mother sank to the floor. She knew this answer would take some time. Probably would have, you know, you would have said, "Boy, go to bed." But Johnny's mother said, "Johnny, even before God made the angels, he wasn't alone. For God was three: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." "Oh," said Johnny, "one more question, Mommy. Does God ever get lonely?" His mother thought for a minute and said, "Yes, Johnny, when Jesus was dying on Calvary,
he felt lonely. Martin Luther wrote, "God forsaken by God? Who can understand it? My God, why have you forsaken me?" To me, those words of Jesus were also a prayer. I believe he was not just saying, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" I believe Jesus was saying, "Father, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me." Do you realize that more people are alive in the world right now, but loneliness is rampant in this world? You didn't hear what I just said. And one of the reasons that God the Father forsook his son that day was that for him to be our high priest, to be touched with everything that we feel, Jesus had to go through that experience that you, many of you, are going through right now. And that is, you feel like you're forsaken by God. You feel like your prayers are not being heard. You feel like because of your sin, God has left you and abandoned you. "Father, what is keeping you? Don't leave me." Brothers and sisters, all throughout the life and ministry, Jesus tasted all our human experiences except that feeling of being forsaken by God. He had experienced everything that we were going to experience except that feeling of being forsaken by God. In all of his life and ministry, Jesus had never come to the point where, as he prayed, he felt that his Father was silent. He felt like his Father was unresponsive. Jesus had never come to that point where he no longer felt that his Father was not there for him. How often in our lives, when our world seems to cave in around us, and we say in the silence of our own hearts, "Lord, don't forsake me. Jesus, don't leave me by myself." Some of you have said it while burying a husband. "Lord, don't leave me by myself. Don't forsake me." Some of you have said it burying a wife. "Please, Jesus, don't leave me by myself. Don't forsake me." I've seen a mother heaving with grief beside the grave of her only little girl. "Don't leave me." I'll never forget years ago when I pastored in Washington, D.C., I sang at the funeral of a 3-year-old girl killed by a stray bullet. They buried her with the one thing she loved, her little Barney doll. When I was speaking this week in Norfolk, a lady came up to me. She said, "You don't know me, but you saved my marriage." Not a Venice lady. She said, "You saved my marriage." She said, "My husband had been unfaithful to me, and my marriage was crumbling, and my pastor handed me one of your tapes that had a song that said, 'He is able. God is able.'" She said, "You saved my marriage." A few moments later, I walked by and a young lady came up to me. She said, "I want to talk to you, sir." She said, "You've been a blessing to me today." She said, "I'll tell you why." She said, I had a 19-year-old daughter. She said, I do work for prisoners and for prisoners coming out of prison. I help them." She said, "That's what I do with my life." And she said, "My 19-year-old daughter in Birmingham was sitting at a gas station with her childhood friend, a young lady, another friend from when she was 2-3 years old, and two people started shooting, and a bullet went through my daughter. and lodged in her friend's heart, and both of them died. There are times when she said, I kept asking God, but the very people I'm trying to help, these are the very people I'm trying to help. When you're grieving over some blessing that has been denied to you, you ever been there? You get depressed, you get passed over on the job when you know you're better qualified. Lord, don't forsake me. Some of you prayed that prayer. Lord, I never wanted to have this kind of trouble in my marriage. Don't forsake me. Lord, I never wanted to be divorced. Don't forsake me. I never wanted to fail like this. You know, there are occasions when we are so puzzled by how things turn out in our lives that we ask God why, and God remains silent.
Isn't it a shame to have to cut a message in half? Pastor Phipps is going to provide in the next broadcast the conclusion to this message, and you really don't want to miss out on that. Why does God remain silent? This is the second message in the When God Says series. Now, for those of you who would like to share this with your friends or family by way of getting an audio copy, you can do so in a couple of different ways. Number one, call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. You'll need to refer to program number 347. Secondly, you could email an order to seabrookav@yahoo.com. That's seabrookav@yahoo.com. Again, be sure to mention the program number 347. Now, to obtain any music of Wintley Phipps, visit the website usdreamacademy.org. On that website, just follow the links to Wintley Phipps music. Again, this is Sandra Enterman, sitting in for Adrian Westney Jr. Hope you enjoyed today's program, and until you can join us again, we leave you with the words of Jesus, written in the Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your